Welcome back to the Chayaruch Anach Yomi Learning Program. You're listening to Daniel Eisenberg, and this is Sefer Yoshua Perek Tesvav. By Psukim, this is a very long Perek. If you take a look, it's 63 Psukim, so you could be overwhelmed by looking at the end, but the truth is that a lot of these Psukim have really only three words in them, and there's a lot of conquering. So you can definitely conquer this Perek without concern. In today's parak, it talks about the conquest and the boundaries of the territory of Shevet Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, and we have Kalev getting his portion in Hebron, as my brother Rabbi Yeshua mentioned the other day, speaking about Kalev and his role as one of the spies in the original spy mission of the land, and over here he's following up on what he said was promised to him, the land in Hebron. And here he actually gets it in today's parak. But there's an interesting discussion that is discussed, as happens with most discussions, that Kalev has a tough battle to deal with in Hebron. It says in Kiryas Arba, which is called Hebron, so he drives out all these giants, Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai, the children of the Anak, and there's a place called Dvir, and Vashem Dvir, the Fanim Kiryas Sefer. This was also called Kiryas Sefer. So this place is called Dvir and Kiryas Sefer. Kalev says that whoever is going to be able to strike down Kiryas Sefer and conquer it, so v'nisati lo es achsa beti le'isha, I'm going to give over my daughter Achsa to anybody who's able to do that. And then there's a man, Osniel ben Kenaz, who is able to do this. He is actually a half-brother of Kalev, and he ends up marrying daughter Achsa. It's worth noting that Osniel ben Kenaz is actually going to be the next main leader of the Jewish people of the Shoftim. As we enter the next Sefer of Tanakh, Shoftim, we're going to learn about the types of leaders then. Osniel ben Kenaz really is the first of them. Now, I want to fill you in on a few points that Chazal say over here. First of all, there's an interesting Radak who's quotes Gemara and Avodah Zarah. He says that what it's called Dvir, it's called Kiryas Sefer. So he says, Ki Biloshon Parsi, Korin Dvir Lesefer, that the Farsi word, the Persian word for Sefer, for book, is Dvir. It makes sense. You know, in Hebrew, Dvir is words or speech, so it's not surprising that those words would be related. But Rashi actually fills this in on much more for in a Gemara in Temura, and it's related to some of the discussions in Maseches Tainis. But basically, what's going on here is that there were a lot of halachos that were forgotten, many, like over a thousand halachos, laws, teachings from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu that had been lost, and Kalev was offering his daughter's hand in marriage to anybody who would be able to conquer these laws. And that's what it means by conquer the Kiryas Sefer, the city of the book, meaning if you're able to help us understand these laws, the missing laws of the Torah that were forgotten, and Osniel ben Kenaz is able to get up and with his brilliance and the Mesorah, the tradition and the information that he already had, and the brilliance and perhaps divine inspiration to further figure out, he was able to deduce the rest of the laws and recover the lost laws of Kiryas Sefer, and therefore he was granted the daughter Achsa her hand in marriage. Now this story is interesting and actually helpful in its own right because it can answer certain questions that you might have in the text itself. Why has to mention Kiryas Sefer? How Kalev could make such an offer? It sounds like a strange and very risky offer, and other questions you might have in the text. But I want to focus on, just really for the next few seconds, just a different aspect, that this shows a layer in the story that is critical to understand, which is that we're not just talking about, you know, bloodthirsty warriors who need a place to live, but we're talking about people who are involved in the Sefer, people who are involved in Torah and mitzvot and trying to do the will of God. And throughout the Sefer, we have seen, you know, battle after battle, and really a tremendous amount of destruction against the Canaanim, thank God, and not our people. And you might get the impression that colleagues are just a bunch of warriors. But really, that's not the case. These are people who were beaten down slaves in Egypt. They wandered the desert for 40 years, and then this is the new generation. We are not given much information about any training they had, and details of their exercises and their workouts, and their drills. We don't have much of that at all, and it's possible that they didn't have much of that. We're talking about a people that are just listening to the word of God, and that's why it's emphasized over and over. They're doing exactly what Moshe was told by Hashem and told Yeshua to do, and they're just following Yeshua's commands. They're just following the lead, and Hashem is handing over these nations right into their hands. He's giving them over, especially by Jericho, but we see so many other miracles where Hashem is very much involved, really running it. And keep in mind, we're talking about barbaric nations, people who offer their children as sacrifices and are killing each other and are involved in all kinds of gilui arayos, sexual immorality. So we're talking about very, very barbaric people that were offered peace treaties, and everyone except for the Givonim rejected the peace offer. Even the Givonim originally rejected it and then later regretted it. One of the Kanani nations, the Girgashi, they actually fled when they were given the offer to flee or make peace or battle, so they decided to flee and go somewhere else. But they are just trying to do the will of God, take over and really live in the land and be able to set an example and teach the world about Hashem and be a model society for the world to learn from. Were there wars? Yes, absolutely. Was there bloodshed? Absolutely. That all took place. But in the context of understanding as Kiryas Sefer, that they're just trying to do Ratzon Hashem. They're trying to fulfill the Torah and mitzvos, that the conquering of land is the same as the conquering of the Torah, that we're trying to acquire Torah and figure out what Hashem wants from us and be able to follow through. We should be zocheh to do that as well.